great psalms of ascent, of which there are from 120 through to 134. They were used as the pilgrims went on a journey. They were going up to keep the feasts, as they were instructed there in Exodus, to keep the feasts at Jerusalem. And as they were going on this journey, they sang these psalms. Three groups of three. The first of the psalms always express the difficulty and the challenge under which they are being challenged. The second of them looks at God's power to help. And the third of them looks at the security that there is in Zion. These psalms begin with, "I am in distress." Maybe that rings a bell with you. It certainly ought to. "I am in distress." And the last psalm is 134. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The psalmist is on a pilgrimage, on a journey. And he's asking, "Where can I get help? Are there robbers lying in wait? Are there wild animals lurking in the forest?" I wonder why we're not told the challenge. We're often told the circumstances of difficulty in the Bible. On this occasion, we're not. And I think we're not told it so that it would be of help to yourself and myself. Whatever your challenge is, this psalm will help you. Recently, I met a lady from Holland who lives over near Elgin, a Christian lady, and she spoke about her becoming a member in her church in Holland. And it was a lovely story. She said, "When I became a member in the church, I had to get up to the front of the church with one or two others who were also professing faith at the same time. And I was to repeat verses 1 and 2. And stand there while the whole congregation addressed the rest of the psalm to me." And if you look at this psalm in that light, that's a help. It's like the first couple of verses are a boy soprano, inexperienced, not the greatest singer, hasn't been around all that long, responded to by one of the great tenors who's been at this singing for a long time. You are on a pilgrimage. Time is passing. Like an ever-flowing stream, time bears all its sons away. Three trucks bombed in Gaza this week. 400 square miles of Ukraine taken over by Putin in the last 8 weeks. 50 places in the world where there is conflict. Vacant pulpits, empty pews, a society restless, fighting with one another, not at peace with themselves and their neighbors and their community. Perhaps you're, like I am often, in Psalm 13. "How long will you forget me, Lord?" Or Psalm 73, "My steps nearly slipped, my feet were almost gone." Yes, you're on a pilgrimage and you see the mountains and the challenges, the uncertainties in career, in family, in church, in health, in country. And you hear the question echoing in your mind, will your anchor hold? we have an anchor which keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And this psalm brings us to understand something of that anchor. And there are four essential points I wish to make from this psalm. The first is there in verse 2. Look at it. Listen to it. Rejoice in it. He is the Creator who made heaven and earth. It's repeated in Psalm 124, verse 8, and 134, verse 3. He is the Creator. Can nothing make nothing? No. Why is there something and not nothing? Why is there anything? Why is there a tree or a blade of grass? Think of Isaiah 40. The Lord says he measures the water in the palm of his hand. Now that's not just the pond that is Loch Ness. That's the water. That's the world. He knows how many liters there are. And you know what he says about China and about Russia? The nations are as a drop in a bucket. A drop in a bucket. Now, you wouldn't notice that. The power which made all things out of nothing is able to fix anything. You get that one? The power that made all things out of nothing is able to fix anything. Here's one from Calvin. Although all the helps in the world, even the mightiest, should offer themselves to us, yet we ought not to seek safety anywhere but in God. My mother often quoted that verse to me as a boy, the verse that underlines that. I'd be saying, oh, he's a great man. He's a great preacher. He's a great this, that, and the next thing. She would say, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. He's just a man. Remember, it's there, isn't it, in verse 4. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. I think that's a little reference back to Elijah. Remember Elijah and the false gods? Shout a bit louder, Elijah said. Maybe your God has gone to the toilet. Maybe he's sleeping. There's only one God, Lord of all, creator and sustainer of life and breath. In him we live and move and have our being. That's number one. He is the Creator. The second point I would like to try and make is he's interested in history. Now, I have to confess, I'm not as interested in history as I should be, although I have a very dear cousin who you know who's very interested in history. And she's here. But history is important. Verse 4, the keeper of Israel. Aha. What's all that about? It's there in Psalm 24. Had not the 124. Had not the Lord been on our side when people rose against us? They would have swallowed us. There in one of the Psalms of Ascent, he's doing it again. Had not the Lord helped us? Did he not help us then? Then it's again there in Psalm 126. I remember Dick Lucas preaching here on that psalm. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we. And that psalm says, the Lord has been mindful of us. History. The psalmist is going back to history. The Lord of us hath mindful been, and he will bless us still. I think I've said this before, but I hope it's worth repeating. We should become mutterers. Mutterers. Speaking to yourself. And here's a verse you should use. This is from Martin Lloyd-Jones, so I have reasonable authority for it. He said, you should go around muttering to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't be forgetful of all his gracious benefits. I remember your name in the night, Psalm 119, verse 55. Can you say that? Well, friends, I can. And I'm glad I can. In the middle of the night, you waken, troubles flood in. Things you did and didn't do flood in. And then, where do you go? I remember him in the night. The Lord is my shepherd. 1 Chronicles 16, I will remember the works of the Lord. And that's what we're facing this Lord's Day. That's what you're being in welcome to this Lord Day. Remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. The keeper of Israel, the history was important. There's a little thing I came across in Psalm 77, which is helpful in relation to providence and history. Verse 19. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. And then it goes on and it speaks about, yet your footsteps are hid on the sea. Now, Jimmy, he goes down to Loch Ness and he swims. And after he's been in the loch, you can't see where he's been. And that's the way it is with the Lord. His footsteps are not seen. He's been on the water. Our footsteps are hid. Remember Joshua, what he said. Look, folks, we're across now. We've made it. We've got here. Go back into the Jordan. Pick up 12 stones. Make a little remembrance thing. Put the 12 stones in a heap so that when the children come, they'll say, what in the wide world are these stones for? Why are these stones there? You would tell the children. You would tell the children what the Lord did for you. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. So we thought a little about the glorious reality that he is our creator. And then secondly, that the psalmist was interested in history. And so should we be. Thirdly, it's a very, very personal psalm. We had a friend, some of us remember him, his name was Finla Beaton. He was an elder in Inverness, and he would be in our home often, and he would tell us, now boys, you're not reading that scripture properly. What do you mean? Well, you should put much more emphasis as you read the scripture on the personal pronouns. How many times is the personal you in these 8 verses we read? It's there a lot. It's there 10 times. Go back to the psalm you sing often. We sing it always, often at funerals. How many times is the personal pronoun in that psalm? I'm not going to tell you. Do the work at home. Think about it. It's glorious. Then you have fears in the night, don't you? Eh? Fears in the night. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He die, me no die. Yeah, that's wonderful. On your right hand, verse 5, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Apparently, in the Hebrew, the words there indicate what God is doing. He's in attendance. He's in attendance on your right hand, your shade, used in the way of somebody waiting on somebody else. Do you think he leaves you? He can't. I am with you in January, but I might leave you in April. Rubbish. Shade. Well, I walked from the Longman yesterday to get somebody down to the car. And my, I needed shelter. I tried the umbrella, but it just blew out. We need shade. Real shade. Providence is the great pillow, and it's providence for you as an individual. I think my favorite words in Psalm 43 cover the point. Do you know what they are? Enjoy them. My chiefest joy. That's what he says. Psalm 43. I've got a little hymn here. I wanted to, if I can find it, it's here somewhere. Yeah. This is the personal nature of what Jesus has done for us. It's from Andrew Bonar, and I think it's Andrew Bonar. It's one of the Bonar brothers. I think it's Andrew Bonar. No, it's Horatius Bonar. Anyway, that's beside the point. And this hymn deals with this, the personal nature of what Jesus has done for you. And I'm just going to read 3 verses. I see the scourges tear his back. I see the piercing crown, and off that crowd who smite and mock, I feel that I am one. Around yon cross the throng I see mocking the sufferer's groan, yet still my voice it seems to be as if I mocked alone. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. And it's John Stott who had a lovely expression in that connection. Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we need to see the cross as something done by us. Remember history. Remember the Creator. And enjoy the personal nature of what he's done for you. And I hope you're asking, what's last? Well, the fourth is about the future. A very helpful word there in verse 6. Shall. Verse 7, he will keep your life. He will keep you from all evil. Verse 8, the Lord will keep. And then there's that word, forevermore. Is that good enough for you? He'll grace and he'll glory give. All things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. He knows the darkness from the light. He knows from the end from the beginning, and he foreordains whatsoever. He foreordains it. The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Remember Joseph and his brothers. Wow. They made a mess of it, didn't they? Joseph was in a right terrible situation. But Joseph knew there was a sovereign God. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And your challenge, brother and sister, however deep and long-lasting, God means it for good. And if he says it, he does it. And his honor is at stake. I stand upon his promises. I know no other stand. We change from all changes. He is free. As round about Jerusalem, the mountains stand alway. The Lord his folk doth compass so. From henceforth and for aye. He is saying to you, dear brother and sister, I died so that you can say, and so that you can sing, and so that you will sing, yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. No one can pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. I think John Newton must have liked this psalm. Here's what he said. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. The grace that brought me safe thus far. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead you home. That's good. That's glorious.